We heard in the first reading for the first Sunday of Lent that God breathed the spirit of life into man, showing we are composed of both matter and spirit, body and soul. Having considered the necessity of penance and the sacrament of penance, we should now show that our soul does in fact survive the death of our body and meets God in judgment to continue living forever for good or for ill. This gives us an even stronger motive for self-denial and growing in holiness during Lent. We know God exists, that He demands certain things of us, and that we will be judged for our good or evil works at the moment of our death. While in modern culture and pop science it is considered silly to say that man has an immaterial and immortal soul, nothing could have been more obvious to man throughout most of our history. To experience our inner life, filled with so many profound and complex thoughts and emotions, to ponder lofty ideas and sentiments of love, justice, and goodness, to feel the inner stirrings when looking upon some beautiful natural wonder or work of art, to feel all this firsthand, and then to conclude that we are basically just randomly assembled meat bags is perhaps the most idiotic and irrational thing we've ever come up with. But the way you hear some people speak and scoff, you'd think that we have a sound scientific material explanation and account for such thoughts and emotions, that science has explained how we have such a unified internal experience that integrates all the raw stimuli we receive from our senses and allows us to navigate the world and think and will and consider things that we've never experienced with our senses. But science has no satisfactory account for our conscious experience. Science has not disproven the soul. For all the sneering at the silliness of thinking we have immaterial souls, is there anything more silly than saying that chemical reactions alone are responsible for your reaction to seeing Michelangelo's Pietà? Now that's just a common sense response. Common sense says, come on, really? You think chemical reactions and our physical brain account for the human conscious experience of life? And while this is a very convincing piece of evidence against the popular materialist account, there are more weighty arguments. Keep in mind that many of the ancients considered it self-evident that we have a soul. And this wasn't even because they were religious or wanted to believe in a blessed life in heaven. It was just so obvious that we aren't mere matter like the rest of creation. One very strong piece of evidence that we are not mere matter is that we all have the experience of considering abstract thoughts, that is, thinking about things that aren't objects that we can sense. As said above, we think about love, beauty, and justice, and not just people we love, beautiful things we've seen, and acts of justice. We think about the concepts themselves. What accounts for this ability? In what way can a physical organ assemble the whole range of things we've sensed and unify them under one idea? You might respond that a computer is able to gather data and unify it and sort it. But do you think that a computer does this in a way that it has an idea of what makes them all one in the same way that we do? That it can turn over the idea of, say, beauty in its computer brain and delight in it and apply it to things it hasn't received as input? We can also make a distinction between what we sense or imagine and what we understand. You can understand the difference between a shape with 1 million sides and a shape with 1 million and one sides, even if you could never sufficiently represent it to yourself in an image. There is a distinction between what we think and what we sense, and the former can transcend the latter. Another thing we can do is reflect on ourselves. We can reflect on our thinking, reflect on our thinking about our thinking, and so on, Inception style. This is perhaps the hardest phenomenon to account for in a material way. In what way could it even be conceivable that material stuff, chemical reactions, firing of synapses, could transcend themselves and look back on it all from the outside? It's not as if we just think we need many more advances in neuroscience before we can understand how it's possible. It's something that seems impossible in principle. This seems like something no physical organ and no computer, however advanced, could ever be capable of doing. And while some might retort that, well, maybe a computer does do this, and maybe other living creatures do have the same interior life as we do, but we don't have access to the inner workings of their consciousness, so we just can't know. And aren't we so arrogant for thinking we're so much higher than other living things? The answer is that we do know these things, because we see the difference between the effects of our inner life and the effects of other living things, and even of computers. As for computers or AI, while it can impressively aggregate data in ways that surpass our capabilities, it can never do anything or create anything that is not the product in some way finally of what we feed it. So anything AI has or does is at the end of the day from us, and we are the ones who designed it. So it imitates our inner life, it doesn't share it. As for other animals, we see amazing degrees of cleverness and complexity. There is clearly reason present in their lives, but it's not their reason. Because we never see the signs of inner reflection, abstract thought, art, language capable of communicating abstract ideas, etc. The behaviors of animals can all be explained in some material way as a result of chemical reactions, responses to stimuli, and so on. Animal behavior is predictable in a way that human behavior is not. Now, if our soul, the source of our inner life, cannot be material, and it can do things that do not rely on matter, then we conclude that it is not subject to death like material things are. If the soul is distinct from the body and not dependent on the body, then it does not die with the body. Death comes about because material stuff dissolves and disintegrates over time. A non-material thing does not experience this, as it is not composed of material parts, which can corrupt over time. So if our soul separates from our body at death, but does not itself die, then we conclude that it lives on in some way in a spiritual existence. And as we are moral agents who understand that we ought to do good and avoid evil, it is reasonable to expect the judgment of our actions in the afterlife, though of course we know all of this with certainty from divine revelation.